episode 117 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. All-inclusive resorts offer the enticing option of traveling without being constantly reminded of your budget. You simply pay one price up front and are there for free to enjoy your vacation, worry and credit card free. But is it truly that simple? This week, we wanted to share with you everything you need to know to help you decide if all-inclusive vacation is right for you. So let's get started. So maybe a good place for us to start is there are different kinds of all-inclusives. And, maybe you guys can share a little bit about the three different types of all-inclusives and what you're likely to find at each one.
Well, we should say that they're not all-inclusive. I think that's the key thing. You'll see three different kinds of sort of hotel resort types. So, Lindsay, you want to talk about that about a little bit?
So, there's the traditional all-inclusive, which is what I think of and a lot of people think of when you hear all-inclusive, all your meals and all your alcohol included, all of your non-motorized water sports, that type of thing. And then this is where it gets a little gray, and this is where having a travel agent to advocate on your behalf comes in handy, to read the fine print, because there are some other value-added plans that would call themselves all-inclusive, even though they might not truly be. So some alcohol might be included or no alcohol, or there might be an additional fee for this and an additional fee for that. I've read some of them are called value-added plans, or you might get one meal, or a European plan, where you might get like breakfast in the morning, and then that's it, and you're going for lunch and dinner. So you have to be really careful to check out the fine print of any resort that's calling itself all-inclusives to make sure you understand exactly what you're getting under that heading. So
that being said, where are all-inclusives located? And are they mostly in the Caribbean, or where would we find the all-inclusives?
Yeah, mostly Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mostly Caribbean, Mexico, and Dominican Republic.
Yeah. We frequently get questions about all-inclusives in Hawaii and Puerto Rico. There are rumors of all-inclusives coming to those places, but even then you'll need to be very careful. There's only, I want to say, about 7 or 8 all-inclusives on U.S. territory, U.S. soil.
There is one that should have opened last year in Puerto Rico. I think it's a Wyndham or...
An all-inclusive?
Yeah, they were talking about it when we were there last night.
So, Regis.
It's like a plan. It's an all-inclusive plan, you know. So, right. Yeah, it's like what you were saying. We need to kind of figure out what the difference is.
And again, this is what you get, and this is what you have to pay extra for.
Yeah.
I think that's, even our favorite Walt Disney World has sort of, quote, all-inclusive, you know, when you add the dining plan, your tickets, you know, in theory, you can
be non-alcohol
all-inclusive. Yes, the non-alcohol. and they have higher plans where they include things like spa treatments and
tours
and golf and all of that. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to make it. So, yeah, an all-inclusive generally is not going to also – there are all-inclusives that – well, there are hotels that offer all-inclusive plans. Usually a true all-inclusive resort will not have a non-all-inclusive plan, if that makes sense.
Right.
So there are hotels that allow you to purchase a package that would add on to your hotel stay that makes it, quote, all-inclusive. But that's where you really need to read the fine print. And then when you see the words European plan, that usually means nothing else is included. Sometimes they'll throw in a breakfast, but usually European plan means room and, room only.
I think it's worth noting, though, a shout out to Club Med, because they have resorts in Europe and I think they're even in Japan now, but they are all inclusive in those places too. So you don't normally think of Europe as all inclusive, but
right.
If you compare like a ski vacation in Colorado or something where you have to add in all the other stuff to a ski vacation in France or something with Club Med, then it might might be worth looking at.
Yep. And you can carry that over. You know, scuba is another thing where people are like, well, I don't need to pay for an all-inclusive because I'm going to be diving all the time. Well, once you pay all your dive fees, maybe looking at a resort that includes diving would actually benefit you. You know, if you really think you're going to be diving all the time, then it might actually benefit you to go to an all-inclusive that includes diving. There aren't a ton of them, but they're out there. So
how do people pick the right all-inclusive? You know, are there certain brands that are only for couples or some that are only good for families or?
Yeah, that's a really good question because from touring different resorts in different areas, you realize pretty quickly that they all have their own kind of personality. And, they are constantly really kind of upgrading and doing things like changing the linens or, you know, like even if they're only changing the soft goods in the rooms are going to look different every few years. So it really helps with a travel agent because a lot of times they've visited them or they know someone who has, and they can get you that kind of information. But, it's really helpful if you know someone who can kind of match what you are looking for. Like if you're looking for a nice, relaxing, you know, vacation where you don't want to be around a big party scene, then you don't want to be right in the heart of Cancun. You might want to be in Riviera Maya, you know? There's a lot of things to consider.
Don't want
to
be in Mobe.
Right, exactly.
But if you're in Jamaica and you want to mix with the locals, you do want to be at Mobe, you know, because you can walk downtown and you can hang out at Margaritaville.
But then you also need to know that Ocho Rios is not just right down the road. So if you think that that's where you want to be, you also need to know how long it's going to take you to get there. And,
how long is that ride from the airport to your resort?
It's long.
How far is the transfer?
And to answer the other part of your question, Laura, then there's the, there are brands that cater to families only or to couples only. There are brands that are very LGBT friendly and then others that are not. And then there's also that weird mixture where you get a family friendly resort that has an adult only section. Sometimes those are great cost effective ways for couples to go. If they don't mind that there are kids on the property, but they want a quiet place to be just as adults, those also work well for things like family reunions or large, you know, weddings, things like that, where because a lot of people want to get married at a resort, but then they realize that kids aren't allowed at that resort. And so they can't, you know, their family can't come. Right. So it's nice to find a mix where you have an adult only area inside of the family friendly resort.
And again, with those that you really have to pay attention to the fine print on those as to what the common shared areas are.
Yes.
Because if you find out all the restaurants at the resort that you booked the adults only side on are located in the family side, it might not be exactly what you want for your romantic honeymoon or couples only vacation. So just be mindful that there are different.
If you have your children and where there's an adult side, some of those adult beaches may not always require all of the clothing, so.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. Really, it's something to think about as you come toddling with your rambunctious 7-year-old boys, you know?
Yes. I do think, straying from that subject a little bit, there's a wide price range in all-inclusives, and so people often will come to us and say, well, I don't understand, you know, I want to go to this resort because I saw it on TV or whatever, but I've seen this Groupon for this other all-inclusive resort and it's so much cheaper. And it is important to know that an all-inclusive resort can call itself all-inclusive and not include everything. Yeah. So that, you know, you may be asking me to price a resort that includes scuba and golf, and the one you saw in Groupon includes food and alcohol. And that's it. It
doesn't, or just food.
Yeah. And it doesn't include any, or, you know, food
just
and just
wine.
Beer and wine, and you have to pay for your liquor. So, now even then the scuba resort would also maybe have, you know, that confuses people too. Well, this resort says that it comes with a credit for wine to purchase wine, but I thought wine was included. Okay. Yes. Wine is included, but it's the house wines. Then they have a pretty deep wine cellar. So if you really enjoy wine, then you may want to purchase a bottle of wine because they'll have some South African wines that you don't see all the time, or some, you know, some Chilean wines, or some, you know, even some Oregon wines that, unless you're Lindsay, you don't get to see them all the time. So, and so if you have that sort of desire for the better, wine, then even at an all-inclusive resort, you may find that you would have to pay for that. But then your nicer all-inclusives will have a better house wine, mm-hmm. so that you may not feel so obligated to try the nicer wine.
And it's even the top shelf liquors, yes. You know, there's a real difference that, you know, Lindsay was saying about reading the fine print. It's like, you know, when you were talking in the beginning about it may include a breakfast. Well, for you, if a breakfast is pancakes, grits, hash browns, and a bagel, and for them, breakfast is, you know, yogurt and a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking, it's all inclusive, so I'm going to drink the best scotch in the house. And you get there and it's not the best scotch in the house.
Yeah.
And that's going to cost you extra. You know, and that's part of, you know, really letting your travel agent help you kind of qualify what are the things that are most, you know, important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did a trip for a family, and it was really, they had been to an all-inclusive, in Mexico, where part of what was included was a refrigerator in their room with top shelf liquors, snacks, and drinks. And that was really, they didn't want to give that up. Not just any liquors, they wanted to be able to ask for what they wanted to be able to ask for.
Yeah.
You know, and that immediately began to whittle down, you know, some of the things that were important to them. So
yeah, sometimes you'll be in an all-inclusive and there'll be like M&Ms in your room that aren't included. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you're kind of like, oh, I can't eat that. You know, or you can, but you know.
There are levels too. So this is where, you know, you'll be like, do I really want a concierge or a club level room? Well, sometimes that actually is the difference between top shelf liquor and not top shelf, not in all resorts, but then in the resorts where your top shelf liquor is included at all levels, your regular entry level room will probably cost as much as the club level did at that room. You know?
Yeah. Some resorts don't even have alcohol in the room, mm-hmm. and people are like, oh, so sorry, Lindsay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, some people will think, oh, well, it's all inclusive and I can just have drinks at the pool or whatever, but you might kind of want to sit in your room and have a drink before you get dressed to go down, you
especially
know, so,
if it's raining.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, or you've been at the pool all day and now you're tired, or you just woke up from your nap and now you want that rum and coke or whatever, you know. So, to me, having it in your room is really nice.
Mm-hmm. For some categories, if room service is important to you, you need to be in the right category room to take advantage of that, because that would be very sad if you think you're going to enjoy room service on your vacation to get there and realize that you booked the wrong room and you don't have access to that room service. So it would be very important. Not only that, room location, because they all, some of these resorts have 28, 30 different categories of rooms that you need to navigate, and they all sound the same. Waterfront, waterfront, walkout, waterfront, what, you know, what's the difference between waterfront, oceanfront,
ocean view.
Yeah. And that is where we can come in garden handy helping you navigate those.
Swim out versus walk out. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I've seen rooms that face the road, and mm-hmm. that's not really where you want to be. You know, if you're going to the Caribbean, you want to see the ocean.
Yeah. And actually,
that's where you have to cross the road to get to the
Yeah. And that's the thing, the price will lure people in and they'll be like, oh, but it's so much cheaper. And I can't even express how many times people get to a resort and decide to upgrade at the resort because they realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we tell you that the room matters, the room matters, and it doesn't just matter, you know, again, at an all-inclusive, sometimes it's just purely location. Sometimes it is actually the amenities that you're getting. And another thing to know is some all-inclusives, especially your lower price all-inclusives, will require you to wear a bracelet. And the bracelet, it's like a, one of those, like what you would get at Bonnaroo or whatever. It's like the plastic, like I'm old enough to drink bracelet.
Right.
But you have to wear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're there for a week, that's a long time to wear this bracelet. And it's color coded based on the level that you're at. So that's how they know whether you, and if you don't have that bracelet on, you will not get service.
Yeah.
So.
I've had clients who told me they were really glad they were in concierge because the line at the restaurant was so long. But they got seated right away because they have read that level.
So, Sandy, can you speak to the, in a general sense, to the difference? Because we may be using terms that people are not familiar with what concierge might mean, what butler might mean, so, what club level might mean.
So I kind of flip concierge and club level back and forth.
They're pretty interchangeable.
Yeah. So basically, generally, if you're going to club level, you're going to show up, you're going to have a special lounge to wait in, you're going to have a little bit more plush area, they're going to take care of you a little bit faster, or in a nicer area.
More personally.
Yeah, and then it's just an upper level in service, a better room location. Sandals, for example, when you get to the concierge level, you get the room service that Lindsay was talking about, but it's from like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. or something. When you move up to the butler level, it's 24 hours. So when you get to the butler level, then, you know, they'll send you a list before you check in of, okay, what kind of liquor do you like? We're going to get, you know, like it's pretty much whatever you want to ask for, you let them know and it's there when you show up. And you have more one-on-one service. You know, they'll go set up your lounge out by the beach, you know, and they'll bring you food and stuff like that. So
that's really important if you like to drink a type of soda or a type of alcohol that they might not normally have on property, because they will not only make sure it's in your room, they will make sure it's at every single bar on property during your stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it can make a difference if you're a Dr. Pepper drinker or a...
Yeah, like Robin, who has to have Pepsi. Only Pepsi.
Yes.
So it just
we're kind of creatures of habit, or, you know, it's like the little things become the big things to us. So it's, you know, it's like what you were saying about how, at Sandals, I guess it was, you know, that room service is from 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, so if you hear room service and you think that 2 in the morning you can call down for that grilled cheese and french fries you want, you know, it's really important, and that's going to ruin your stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other side of that is to begin to look for and think about, you know, for you, for your couple, for your family, you know, it's yes, we may be able to get room service that you want and drinks, but is there a children's program?
Right.
You know, is there any nightly programming? Is there, you know, are there activities included?
And
do you have to pay extra for it?
Yeah.
And do you have to pay, you know, what areas of the spa can you use, if you can use any? What, you know, water sports is that?
If you have a family and you have a range of ages of kids, it's good to know what resorts have things that are going to appeal to the teenagers, you know, as well as the kids club, you know. So that's really good to know too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause some have like Flow Riders and DJ Scratch Academies, you know, all kinds of cool stuff out there. Yeah.
Well, and just because a room says it can sleep 4 doesn't mean you might want it to sleep 4.
Not really.
or sleep 3. So it's to be really sure about, is it a king, you know, a king size bed and a pull out couch? And, you know, if you're going on that girlfriend's getaway and there's going to be 4 of you, who's going to pick the girl, you know, the flip out couch? So that's another thing too.
Well, and is the resort even going to be able to accommodate? Because some resorts won't let you have more than 3 adults.
Yeah.
For inclusive.
And some won't guarantee that your kids are going to, like, if you get 2 rooms, they don't guarantee that your kids are going to be next to you. You know? So that's something to think about too.
Yes. So say you get to one of these all inclusives and you've had really good service. Do you need to tip at an all inclusive, or is that included in what you're doing?
It depends on the resort.
Yeah, it depends.
Some resorts are no tipping, and some resorts they expect you to tip. And
is that something that we can tell you, or is that on their website? Or?
That's something that your travel agent would be able to help with. Also, it sounds so cliche to say, but it's so true. All inclusives, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
As far as not only just the location on the beach of the resort, you see these great deals online and it says it's all included. It's really important to consult your travel agent or look up, see, well, do we have beach access? What does the beach look like?
Mm-hmm.
Because the angle, I guarantee you, the angle that they're taking all of the professional pictures from is it's going to be the best angle available. And it could have been a picture taken.
Maybe not humanly possible. Yeah, exactly. They like majorly used lenses and things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, and so, also the quality of the linens and things like that. There are things that are really, it's just hard to see online sometimes. And so when you are paying a little bit more, you can expect a little bit more. That's in general a rule. I think you always want to use somebody who, a travel agent who is familiar with the properties, to at least vaguely familiar with their reputations.
With the brands.
With the brands, mm-hmm. so that they'll know. And sometimes it is. I mean, some of these less expensive all-inclusive resorts are fabulous for less expensive all-inclusive resorts. You just have to know that you're not going to get room service 24 hours a day. And like, those are not options for you at those resorts. Right. So.
Well, you know, you guys have all been to an all-inclusive. What do you love about them?
I love not having to worry about. I love how clean my room is.
And how big
the bed is.
I like not having to worry about how much this is going to cost or how much that is going to cost the whole time I'm there. Mm-hmm. I like being worry free for that space of time. And I can't tell you the joy I had in my heart the first time I was able to get up from a meal without having to wait for
a check.
The check.
Yeah.
We could have an appetizer at one restaurant, and we could have a meal at the other one, and we could everyone get a different thing and share it, and it's fine. And that to me is, as a foodie, that's great. Cause I that meant I could try several different things and I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Have any of you taken your kids?
Not yet.
I have. Yeah,
it's on the list.
It was interesting because when I went to an all-inclusive with my family, my husband doesn't drink alcohol. My kids obviously don't drink alcohol that I know of. And so there was a part of me that was like, what am I really paying for? I'm going to have to drink a lot of booze to make up for these people that I'm paying all this money for. But when you get there, you start realizing what it is that you're paying for. And drink wise, my kids drank more virgin strawberry daiquiris than any human should ever consume. How they weren't completely sick. The specialty coffees that were included, we were at a beaches, so we were at a high end all inclusive resort. The specialty coffees, the pastries, my son could go to a buffet pretty much 24 hours a day. He was so happy. And then the kids programming, the water park.
Yeah.
There was a flow rider. All of those things. And then non-motorized water sports. We went out on a catamaran for 30 minutes at a time. You know, a little sunfish kind of thing. Well, that's sunfish are the smaller ones, but we went out on one of those small catamarans and Hobie Cat, that's what they're called.
Hobie Cat.
And that's totally fun. Great family time. And normally that's like a rental fee. You know, mm-hmm. when we were in Hawaii, we would have to pay for that. Let me tell you, we would have to pay a lot.
You'd have to pay for a lesson. And that was, I did that too. I would have never gone out on a Hobie Cat had there been an additional fee attached to it. I would have never done it. But the fact that I could do it and they took the time to teach me,
maybe I need to do that next time I'm at Santa's.
Honestly, we almost didn't do it because, you know, we were so busy doing other things. And finally, like the last 2 days, we were like, hey, let's go check out these, water sports. And, you know, I really sort of am sad that I didn't try scuba diving while I was there. It's not, you know, a lesson is not included. You have to pay extra for the lesson, but it's not terribly expensive.
I think it's like $70.
I would say it was closer to $100,
actually.
That's
the refresher.
So you have opportunities to do things for less than they would cost normally, and you have lots of time. And that's, you know, back again to your original question, because we tend to stray a little bit. That's what I like too, is just being able to go and not worry about how much money I'm shelling out for every little thing. You know, my daughter would eat candy all day long and ice cream if given her druthers. Well, she can do that on this trip.
And Beaches is one of the ones that you don't tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one that they are very strict about, actually, except unless you have a butler or in spa.
I have to ask you, parents, how nice was it to be on vacation with your kids and not have them come up to you and ask every 5 minutes for money or something?
Oh, so great. And now they're old enough that we would, like, when we go on a cruise, we turn on their charge card so that they can just go get a freaking Coke and not bother us with it. And I am always terrified that my daughter's going to come back with a $300 bracelet
She's going to figure it out.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, and I think you mentioned earlier, like, you can make Disney all-inclusive by adding, mm-hmm. you know, now that I add the dining plan when I take my twins, they love that because they can just go over and get their own snack or, you know, they love that option. Mm-hmm. That was the thing on the cruise too. They were eating a lot of ice cream.
Well, that's, I think, honestly, the whole strawberry daiquiri thing, I don't even know if they liked the strawberry daiquiris that much, but the fact that they could go up to the swim up bar and order them, I think that was like 80% of the appeal.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they liked doing it, was they felt grown up and, you know, they could have a drink in the pool, which incidentally, I think is still a very bad idea for children, but whatever, they can do it. And so,
pools absorb a lot.
they have great filtration systems. So yeah, for me, that it really was just worry free. We could get up in the morning and there was booze in our room. We could just start drinking right away. I'm not an early morning drinker actually, but yeah. And even just this last, I was just recently at a Sandals resort for just a few days, and just to be able to sit in my room and have a glass of wine without having to, you know, pay a corkage fee or have brought my own wine or have bought it somewhere and bring it back to my room is just there. And I was like, oh, look, there's a bottle of wine on my counter. You know, I can have it.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the kids, one more piece about, you know, your kids being able to, is that one of the families that I, you know, have helped to do an all-inclusive, they love it because they have kind of teenagery kids and preteens, and they feel like they can kind of let them go.
Yeah.
You know, and that they're going to be okay. They can go over to the water park or the pool or go inside and get pizza. And they don't have to have their parents go with them, or they don't have to be worried about, you know, kind of dangerous, you know, or outside things happening. And that's really nice for a family on vacation, for the parents to feel like they can kind of let their kids, especially the older kids, you know, kind of have their alone time, and you can have your alone time, and, you know, it works out really well all the way around.
Yeah, and the all-inclusive all-inclusives have all those things that you sort of want from a beach resort: hammocks and, you know, romantic swings and, you know, lounge chairs and, you know, all the comforts that you see in picture postcards and things like that. They're all there. Can you find those at the Ritz-Carlton as well? Yes. But then you also have to pay for your food. So, you know, that this sort of takes care of all of that all in one.
And again, depending on the all-inclusive or the type that you get, your beach chairs and your lounge chairs may not be included. Your towels may be an additional fee depending on the resort.
Yep.
So,
or the level in the resort.
When we're talking about sandals and beaches, those are all included.
Mm-hmm. So how about I want to take my family to spring break to an all-inclusive. How far ahead should I probably get in contact with you?
By the time this airs, it's too late.
Yeah, right. There's actually some other rules about spring break because, I have a family going and they are bringing their adult children who are, I want to say like 18. So they want a separate room for that part of the family, but they can't check in. So the adults have to, the parents have to be listed in each room because in spring break, a lot of resorts will not let people under a certain age check in.
Yes. And another thing your travel agent can help you with. If you're traveling during spring break and you want to be sure your resort is not spring break friendly. So to make sure there aren't a whole bunch of drunk college kids there, because there are some, especially in the hotel zone in Cancun, where they're definitely, and in Dominican Republic as well, where they're definitely focused on.
Yeah. Because the drinking age is 18 in a lot of those places too.
Yeah. So that can be a key factor. But again, to answer your original question, why do I have to be the adult here? I would say it's good to book in the fall. And I have families who book like the spring before. So I, you know, as early as May of last year, I had people booking for April of this year.
Yeah. I began booking for the families that I was working with in October, and there was already limitations on some of the rooms.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for folks to know, you know, that this is not something that you might want to call 8 weeks before and say, you know, we'd like to go to so-and-so, and there's a good chance it's not going to be an option.
Yep. And around the time that this is airing, I will be looking for my family's trip to an all-inclusive in Mexico for Christmas. You need to plan that in advance, too, because that's another thing.
Maybe we'll come with you.
So many people, you're more than welcome to. I'm not paying for it.
Let's do a group.
So many people think that they're the only ones who are smart enough to travel during Christmas because they think everybody else is going away. And we've done lots of podcasts on this. So yeah, you probably want to start talking to your travel agent in the next couple of months before the end of the first quarter. We'll put it that way.
Are there, and it may be different for, you know, for different areas, but are there better times or better value times for people to go to all inclusives?
Hurricane season. Yeah, hurricane season. Cheapest time of year to go.
Figure. Just add on that insurance.
Yep. Well, that's why Lindsay and I are doing, I mean, by the time this is aired, we'll have already done it, but we were supposed to go to the Sandals in Nassau back in October, and Hurricane Matthew had other plans for us. Yeah. So January is when we'll be there.
So we're going now.
Outside of hurricane season, is there...
Well, no, that's a good half of the year. So, I mean, really from August to November is hurricane season. So that really is prime. And actually, I think those first 2 weeks of December can be okay too, right before you get into Christmas, for real.
The pricing, of course, is going to spike for spring break time and anything surrounding a holiday.
January, February probably is not too bad.
It's not bad, actually. Yeah. You can find some good deals in January and February, especially late January, early February, where it can be kind of cold in a lot of places in the Caribbean.
It can be refreshing.
Well, and incidentally, the air will probably be totally fine, but the water. So if you really want to spend a lot of time in the pool or whatever, I went to Cancun in November, and let me tell you, the pools were chilly.
Oh, really?
Chilly, yes. So maybe I'm just a wuss about those things. I'm not going to even say that I'm not, but it was the first week of November, and they were already quite chilly.
You guys live in the South. Us Northerners.
I know. I was going to say.
Bring it on.
Well, I was going to say, I did manage to suck it up and sit at the pool bar, and I warmed up eventually, but the water was
that
really...
That was just all the pee in the right pool.
To be fair, there were only four people in the pool at the time. They were all grown up. So.
Yeah, well, if you're sitting at a pool bar, how often do they get up?
When you go on a cruise or something like that, people don't know that there are like formal nights or nights that they might need to dress up a little bit more. Is that something you're going to usually find at all-inclusives?
Not a specific night, but a specific restaurant,
specific restaurants. And
and you
usually people
those.
Need a lot of that kind of stuff?
Mm-mm.
No, I mean, if you want to, I would bring a couple really nice outfits, but you don't have to do that if you don't want to, you know, so.
Yeah, I resort casual is actually a thing. I mean, you know, I think you'll want to probably wear some, the ladies will want to wear a dress or nice slacks to dinner, but the men don't really need to wear a coat unless they're going. I mean, there are a few restaurants, especially at some of the higher end all inclusives, that will require a jacket or will certainly require pants. And I have seen, that's funny. Require pants as opposed to shorts.
Yeah.
And I have seen people, men in completely nice shorts, probably shorts that cost as much as any good pair of pants did, get turned away.
I do think that's harder for men because women can throw on a little sundress or something that men have to think to bring like shoes, you know, and nice
shoes. Oh, it's the one time their wardrobe is an inconvenience.
Yeah, right. I know. Still takes up less room in their suitcase. Yeah.
But you know, Laura, in general, I mean, if somebody really didn't want to dress up, they could avoid it and most all inclusives. They just would not be able to go to the, say, the finest restaurant on property, the, you know, the fine dining, white tablecloth, white glove restaurant. But that may be fine for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kiddingly seen, like, in some travel agent forums and stuff, and people are talking about all inclusives are like, packed your suitcase. Now take everything out except your bathing suits and one two sundresses because you're not going to use the rest.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, you need your sunscreen. You need your sunscreen and your bug spray.
Yeah.
I just made that mistake on my recent trip.
Yeah.
I kept getting in the water and I just didn't reapply because I knew I was getting in the water again. And yeah, I turned into a lobster.
And the nicer all-inclusives like Sandals, I am obsessed with Sandals bath products. I have been known to beg every single person I know who's going to bring me back shampoo and conditioner.
By the way, I only had carry-on or I would have brought you some. I thought
so
about
you
it.
Can stock up, right?
Yeah.
I love the way it smells. So, yeah, so you can leave that stuff at home. But your sunscreen, you're going to pay a little bit for that in the gift shop. If you have to buy it there, you're better off just bringing it from home. Depending on where you live, because where you live, they might, like, when you go to some destinations, you might want sunscreen for locals.
Yeah.
This is strength of your sunscreen. The other thing, the one thing I always like to bring, I love those Tervis mugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the lids, and those are awesome because they will make your drink. You can pour your drink right in there and it keeps it kind of cold, or you have it for ice water if maybe you don't want to, you know, and it's nice to have them in your room.
And it has a lid, so when it swirls around, it doesn't spill. Oh.
Yep.
That's funny. Are you bringing a mug to St. Louis?
I am.
Oh,
Do you want me to bring you one? I have an extra.
Bring me one. Yeah.
I saw people doing that when I was just recently at Sandals. I was like, that is genius. It was really genius.
I do that on a cruise, but
I'm an old lady. I won't go anywhere without them.
Nice. Yeah, I don't have a Tervis mug, but I can't remember the brand right now, but it's one of the metal ones that keeps ice in all day long. It came with me to San Diego. You know, it's...
Yep. The time that I saw it, that I was really jealous of it, was when we did our snorkeling excursion. Some ladies had Tervis mugs with them, and they actually, cause when you go snorkeling at the end, you have this like beach and swim thing, and they would go out with their little floaties and their Tervis mugs out in the ocean. And you could take a regular drink out in the ocean, but it'll probably get salt water sloshed in or whatever. Her little Tervis mug, she had a perfectly good little rum sunset punch, whatever it was that...
That's
he makes up for her.
I didn't notice anybody doing that.
Yeah,
and it's brilliant. They're bigger, so they hold more alcohol.
Oh, well, yours might be bigger than mine. Refill. Mine is not so big. I think mine's only like 16
ounces. I've got two big ones. I'll bring you a big one to use.
I was going to say, I have a Hurricanes one that's pretty big.
So. Is there anything you think we haven't covered? Or no. Any questions that
I think we
left off?
Nope. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's all join Elizabeth at Christmas.
Yeah, we should do an Outlander group for Christmas.
We should.
You guys have a great time. That's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Just search for Fly Away, and please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Elizabeth, and myself, Laura, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!